Father, help us to be still in our souls, Lord, to hear you, to listen to you, and we praise your name, Lord. Thank you for your word, and thank you that you give us such glorious words in your word. We don't have the words to say, but as we read what the Spirit has given us, so unbelievably beautiful. So guide us this morning as we look at 16 more verses in this longest psalm. And every verse has your in it, except the first three verses. You're in there. You're. It is you, Lord. It is not us. Help us to be still this morning and listen as you would speak to us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we begin with the stanza that begins with Pe, P-E, the very first verse says, your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul, there we have the word, soul keeps them. So as we look at that verse, first thing we see is that his testimonies are wonderful. Is that true or not? Absolutely, huh? Now, if they're wonderful, what are you going to do with them? Well, are you going to keep them with your hands and feet and voice and so forth? And I say yes, but there's deeper things here than that in this verse. It says, therefore, my soul keeps them. Your soul is you. All of the busyness you do with your hands and your feet will one day end. But your soul is never going to end. That's you. So, therefore, my soul keeps them. So your testimonies, your wonderful testimonies, my whole being keeps them. Is that true? How true is that? That's what we want. How true is it? The next verse says, the entrance of your words gives light. Just think about that. As the entrance of his word comes into our hearts or into our minds, it gives light. Now, I can almost guarantee you that 98% of the time, what's coming into your mind from the outside gives darkness. Darkness, despair, gloom, hopelessness. But the entrance of your words gives light. Now, if you have his light indwelling in you, how much more brighter and powerful is than that of just the entrance of it, right? So if just the entrance of it gives light, think about the continuation of that in you as your word is in you and working itself out through you. And notice this, it gives understanding to the simple. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. You know, one of the things that we are trying to do in our culture is saying everybody is equal. Well, we know everybody's not equal. We were just listening to some of these singers earlier this morning. Nobody in here that I know of has a voice like that. Well, we're going to make it all equal. Everybody has to have the same voice. Well, I don't think so. That's not the way God created us. So there's this great variety, and we have some simple ones. And we have some profound ones, and we have some low intelligent ones, and we have some gifted high intelligent ones. But the word gives understanding to us all. Isn't that beautiful? You don't have to have outside tutoring as a counselor if you are simple. Here you have the word, it gives you understanding. And even if you're an Einstein, and maybe you don't even know the Lord, this will give you understanding. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And then here, picture a deer. Of course, we have Psalm 42, I think it is, where the deer panteth after the water brook. And you can visualize some of these old English fox hunts, which I can't stand. They chase this fox to death, basically. But can you imagine that fox running for its life after a long time, how it pants. And here, I opened my mouth and panted. Do I? Do you? Are you opening your mouth to the Lord and to His Word as a deer would open its mouth and pant? I opened my mouth and panted for what? Longed for. Doesn't say I long for water. It says I long for something much greater than water, really living water. I long for your commandments. Do you? Do I? Then a great prayer here. These all are great, but look upon me and be merciful to me as your custom is toward those who love your name. That's God's custom, but I want it, right? And I'm asking for mercy. I'm not asking for judgment. I'm not saying, look upon me and judge me. Oh, no. I'm saying, look upon me and be merciful to me, knowing that's what you want, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Do you love His name? These are all so beautiful, but they're all so deep, aren't they? Here is a wonderful one for just a daily thought or an hourly thought. Verse 133, direct my steps, direct my steps by your word. Now, all of these, you can quantify them if you can, I don't know. How many of your steps are really directed by the word of God? How many of your steps yesterday were directed by the word of God? Were any of your steps yesterday directed by the word of God, Phil? Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to have some iniquity as long as we're in these bodies. But the prayer is, direct my steps by your word, and don't let that iniquity, no iniquity, have dominion. Oh, I love that. And then redeem me from the oppression of man. Do you feel any oppression of man out there? All over the place because you being a child of God, because of you being Jesus Christ. That's where the oppression is coming from. So, psalmist is crying out, redeem me from that. And then the result of being free from that oppression is I may keep your precepts. Which kind of, if you turn that verse around, if you're really hammered and you let that hammering get to you, you're not going to be keeping his precepts. And then this beautiful verse, your, three yours in this one, make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. If you look at most leaders, most worldly leaders, as they speak, and maybe as you even have an opportunity to see some at some level face to face, typically their face is not shining, is it? It's anything but shining, right? Dark and grim. And I was looking real quickly at the news this morning, and I see that the world leaders in Davos, Switzerland, right now are going nuts in the fear that Donald Trump is going to be president. Oh. And they gave the whole conference yesterday, I guess, to strategies of coming against Trump around the world. They're sitting up there in this forum, and they're all saying this. They had one woman up there. All I know, they quoted her. She said, we've got to attack him. We've got to attack him. Some head of some bank in Switzerland or someplace. But it's a real thing out there, isn't it? It's a real thing out there. The viciousness and the increasing pressures against godliness or God, and I'm not talking about the godliness of our president, but I am talking about this nation is still recognized as probably being the best nation out there, and it's the biggest problem in the way of these globalists. They want us out of the way. And when Iowa comes around, they even said one day, we have to consider Iowa, because it was so obvious there that there's a great hue and cry for a change here from because we had like 3 years now of this great trend towards globalness, right? Towards socialism and so forth. And they don't like the thought of that stopping. So you can see here, we're going to have the oppression of man continuing in from a lot of ways. But our prayer is, make your face shine upon your servant, and then teach me, teach me. Do you ever feel that you look at a scripture and you already know it, and you kind of discard it because, oh, I know that. I look at John 3:16, I know John 3:16. I know every word in it. 25 words. I know what the center word is. Well, that's great, but is that anything other than something up here? What's here? What's in my soul? Teach me your statutes, Lord. I need to learn. I learn from you. And then, rivers of water run down from my eyes because men do not keep your law. We did have a right to life march yesterday in Washington. I couldn't even find it in the news because the world doesn't like that. But are you really caught up in things that are coming against the Lord to the point of where rivers of water are running down from your eyes? The reason? Because men do not keep your law. We can see Jesus weeping, and he was not, of course, in that context here, he was not weeping about Lazarus. He's going to raise him from the dead. So it wasn't weeping because Lazarus died. He was weeping because of the sorrow and difficulties the world has because of sin. And he could see Jerusalem being overthrown in like 35 years from then or so, and millions dying, and the city destroyed, the temple destroyed, all because of sin. And so men do not keep your law. It is causes so much pain, so much trouble, difficulties, right? So that is peh. Then we move on to tsari. When you see the TS in Hebrew, it's like pizza. Tsa, tsa, tsa. Tsari. Tsari, tzadek, righteousness, righteousness. So you'll see righteousness in these eight verses, I think, six times. You'll see, or five times, five or six times. So we're going to be talking about righteousness here, and we're going to be talking about righteousness that is forever. His righteousness is forever. We're kind of used to looking at warranties, right? Do you have a 50,000-mile warranty or 100,000-mile warranty or a 10-year warranty? Well, we're talking about an eternal warranty here. So it is so awesome. Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright are your judgments. Think about the judgments coming out of our courts of law. How many of them are upright? How many of them are righteous? Very few are righteous and upright. But all of the Lord's judgments are righteous and upright. Your testimonies, which you have commanded, are righteous and, listen to this, very faithful. They're not just sterile rules out there. They have life to them. They're very, very faithful. And then I always like the word zeal. I don't know why I like the word zeal so much, but it just kind of gets you in the heart. And zeal. Do you have zeal for the Lord? You know that great verse there in Titus 2, where it says, we look forward to the glorious return of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, what? Who gave himself for us, paying every lawless deed, that he might purify for himself his people, what? Zealous, zealous for good works. Are you zealous for the Lord? So we see here, my zealousness or my zeal has consumed me. Wow, now that's zealousness, isn't it? Why? Because my enemies have forgotten your words. So you think we got problems in the world. Of course, this psalm is only, what, 3,000 years old. They didn't have any problems back there. Everybody loved the Lord and was just so faithful, right? Not like today. Well, I don't think so. Because my enemies have forgotten your words. Again, very similar to what we've been talking about, the pain that comes from not heeding God's word. 140, your word is very pure. What was that old commercial, Ivory soap or some soap, I can't remember what it was. 99.44, 100% pure. Well, this is not one, it's not that. It's 100% pure, right? 100% pure, all pure. Your word is very pure. Why? Or what for? Result? Therefore, your servant loves it. Do you love his word? How much do you love his word? Where does that rank in things that you could not possibly live without? Psalm 141, I am small and despised. When you get a lot of hatred, you do feel small, don't you? You feel lonely, you feel kind of all by yourself, but the despising, that's the despising that comes from being Christ's. Not despised because you're obnoxious or something like that. But I'm small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts. So even when you're bantied about and pushed and shoved and despised and spit upon, don't forget the precepts from the Lord. And then your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. And your law is truth. It doesn't say the word is true, which it is. It's higher than that. It's truth. It's truth. It's not just, well, one out of these 10 words is true. No. 100 out of 100 words are true. There's about 700 plus thousand words in here and in the Bible. They're all true. Trouble and anguish. How about it? Anybody have any trouble and anguish? Trouble and anguish. Yes, we have trouble and anguish, don't we? Have overtaken me. At times we seem to have been overtaken by them. And here again is a yet. Your commandments are my delights. Wow. How's that to balance the scale? Trouble and anguish and delights. Now, if you don't have any delights, the trouble and anguish is kind of heavy, isn't it? Really heavy. But trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delight. Are my delights, not just delight, plural, delights. And then the last verse, the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. So this whole section here on Sadi is righteousness, and it's all regarding the everlasting aspect of it. And then the prayer, give me understanding, give me understanding, give me understanding. And he has his word. He wants us to understand. And he wants us to understand by spending time in his word, not just reading it, but meditating on it, letting it get into our souls, getting beyond our brain. You know, most things, if we get it in our brain, we feel pretty good. But we want to do more than that, because you don't get understanding just in your brain. You get a lot of facts. You get a lot of... That's where it starts. I mean, it's got to be in the brain. But what about your heart? How much comes into your heart? How much comes into your soul? How much becomes you? So the righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and then I shall live. Jesus would say, what? I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives in me shall never die. So give me understanding, and I shall live. Father, we thank you for your word, and kind of speechless when we look at it, and help us to receive from you in each way that we need to receive, and we're all different. But we thank you that it gives understanding to the simple. You have something for every one of your children. You have given us all different gifts, some several. Everybody has some gift that you've given us, and so we thank you. Nobody's without. And help us to just honor you and be grateful for the gifts you've given us, and recognize they're gifts. They're not something we've earned. They're not something that we can trot around and say, look at me, look at me. No. We want to say, look at you, look at you. We have a few minutes now in prayer, and guide us as we continue to be Spirit-led. Spirit-led. May our prayers be pleasing to you and acceptable to you, because they are from you. We do nothing but respond. Lord, that is who we are. We are the responders to your love, the responders to your word. Just the responders. Help us to remember that you are God and I'm not. But you do want to hear from your children, Lord. And you do say, cry out to me. And we've had a lot of lets in today's verses again, which means allow it. May it happen. That's what I want to see you do, Lord, in my life. So lead us now in this prayer time in Jesus' name. Let's just thank the love of God. Hear a song we all know as we end this great time of prayer together.
The love of God is great.
Father, we thank you for meeting us here this morning, Lord, and do direct our steps as we go our separate ways. Direct them by your word and Please let no iniquity have dominion over us today. May we honor you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.